You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You're that on the clock. You want to make sure that we're that good with commercial breaks. I suppose, bottom of the hour.
But there's no need for it, and I keep turning it off, but it just keeps coming back on, you know, every time, so it's weird.
Yeah, that was the annoyance of my alarm this morning. It was
actually going off.
Yeah, it just went off, and then I went off again and again and again and again, and it's no fun. I did not like that.
Do you have? I feel like you're one of those guys that has like that real annoying ass alarm that goes off, like the biohazard. You know?
Oh, kind for of. The love of God, no! I remember it was like last year or something. Was watching like Band of Brothers, and I was like, God, those are just American heroes, and you
hell
know,
yes,
just
the let's
amount
go,
of Jim. Amount of discipline those guys have. You know what? I'm gonna set up the Army bugle as my alarm. And that lasted all of 3 days, I want to say.
No, I understand.
The first day we did that?
The first day that happened, I was just like, oh, that's right. Yeah, I set that. Second day, I'm like, okay, this is already not going well. And then the third day, I was like, yeah, this is
what an annoying sound.
It's not
like,
happening.
And I assume like it probably gets really soothing for those that are in the service, like at a point. It's like okay.
Soothing?
Yeah, for real. It's like, yeah, okay, you know, you get, no, seriously, you
let's
probably
test
get
that theory.
You probably get really used to it. Yeah, you probably get really used to it, and it's probably hard for you to wake up and not hear that. Like at a point, like once you come home and you've, you know, been, you get a chance to, you know, I don't want to say take a leave or, you know, anything like that, but you might not be in the service at that point, and then you just come home and it's probably weird. So that's probably a lot of people's alarm clock. You know,
oh, look at him, he's sleeping so peacefully.
Like,
I used to have this really annoying alarm clock when I was like in high school, and it was cool because you could like there was a button on it, you could press it, and it would just tell you what time it was. So if you couldn't see late night or didn't want to wake up, just reach over and press it. Bing, 1:32 a.m. Cool, you know.
It would say it to you.
Yeah, it would say it to you, which is cool. But you get to choose what the alarm sounded like, and they're real soothing ones. Man, I picked the rooster every morning, and guess what? It always got me up. It was so annoying to where, and then if you don't obviously snooze it after 5 minutes, it goes off again. So, yeah, I mean, now I need a nice little soothing,
yeah,
you know, little chimes to wake me up.
I wake up to For the Love of Money by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
That's a great record.
It is.
Did you know that was that money,
did you know that was a song before it was For the Love of Money? It was called For the Love of Money. It was also on Ruthless Records. But it wasn't Bone Thugs until later. Like, they had the song. They were like, you know what? Bone Thugs can use this for the love of money. It's the exact same song with no rap lyrics, but yeah.
Bone Thugs trivia here on Sports Center.
Hey, I just found that out. I just found that out like 2 weeks ago, so it's funny you say that. I'm a big Bone Thugs fan. Funny story, when I was in seventh grade, or sixth, can't remember, Creeping on the Come Up was Bone Thugs' like first album. And on that album, they were talking about like Ouija boards and, you know, like some kind of some devil stuff. And my mom heard me listening to the Ouija song as she comes in the front door.
Turn that off!
And immediately took the CD out and said, yeah, you're taking this back.
Yeah, you don't F with that
stuff. You're taking this back to the store.
I think my mom did that, but I had, for some reason, the Uncle Cracker CD at that point.
Oh,
I was
okay.
In like second grade, third grade, and there was some lyrics in that one.
Suggestive.
Yeah.
You know,
Uncle Cracker, man, he had a stranglehold on the youth in 2003, 2004. Are you kidding me?
I don't know if you remember, speaking of youth, back in the day, they had a Nickelodeon alarm clock, which had like the Nickelodeon theme song you could wake up to.
That was connected to a giant vat of slime.
Yeah, right?
That's how that woke
wake
you
up.
It woke me up every morning.
Just get slimed every morning.
Why is your bed so dirty? Well, yeah. For other reasons.
Why is it covered in green goo?
I don't know, Mom. Why? No, why did you get me this alarm clock? No, but it did include both of those noises, the rooster and that, I think it's the taps is what that, the morning taps.
The army bugle.
And it did include that, and that's what I ended up doing.
What a great channel. What a great time, man.
Oh, my God.
You know, if you're out there right now and you were born in the 2000s, like, you're a Disney Channel kid.
Oh, you know
like,
what?
You know, like that was your thing. You're a Disney Channel. We are Nickelodeon Cartoon Network. Those are the channels that really kind of raised us.
Well, I was wondering last night, I was out with my buddy and we were talking about like, you know, being a substitute teacher and you're like, wait, what class is this? You know what? Whatever. We're watching something on the TV. And my buddy then referenced Bill Nye. And
Bill
I was like,
Nye, the science
and
guy.
I was like, dude, how great was Bill Nye? And also, how many kids nowadays Do they have any idea who Bill Nye is?
Kids science grades
no.
suck
like,
right
if
now
I,
because
if,
there's no Bill Nye.
If I went to my son, if you went to your son, I'd be like, hey, what you know about Bill Nye? And he'd be like, I don't know.
What's a Bill Nye?
I don't know what Bill Nye is.
Joe, I was literally, you know that Fox show, The Floor, hosted by Rob Lowe? So my wife and I, we were looking for some trash.
I know of it. I do not watch it.
Yeah, my wife and I were looking for some trash TV just late night to kind of, you know, ease into bed, easy viewing. And this show, it's basically a quiz show and you see pictures of things and then you guess what they are according to a certain category. And that came up very recently. And no, it was probably like a 20-some-year-old. They did not know who Bill Nye the Science Guy was.
Bill!
Yeah, that's
Bill.
One of those things. Like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego is how I know where a lot of stuff is.
Where
you know?
San Diego
Seriously,
is.
Seriously, where I know is number one, where is San Diego?
That it's even a city.
Where is the hell is San Diego?
Yeah, so it's I don't know. Those shows were real educational for kids. They're also kind of fun. They all had, like, dope-ass theme songs. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? What a cool show. Did you watch Carmen Sandiego? I know you're younger, Joe, so...
I was a little bit later. I was on the tail end of
there was a
cartoon,
the
run.
Yeah, you probably... you might have missed it.
If so, it was like the very tail end of it.
Yeah.
One that has transcended generations, Inspector Gadget, that cartoon. God, that was probably written and like created by some Japanese anime studio in the 70s.
By the same people that made Power Rangers.
Yes, that is
it
correct.
It was made by them. I found that out the other day as I watched the Dark Side of the Power Rangers, which is really... there's a show, I forget where it's on. I think it's on Max.
It's on Max. It's
documentary
a good one.
About that.
Well,
yeah.
It's like, and it's multiple like celebrity instances over.
Yeah,
like,
one,
the past,
it's like
20
each
years.
Episode's a documentary in itself.
And one was about Power Rangers. And I was like, damn, I had no idea all the stuff was going on with the Power Rangers.
Well, they didn't make money.
I knew the two things about, you know, Trini, the Yellow Ranger. I can't remember her actual name, forgive me. And then. The guy that was the Green
Rang
Ranger
was her name.
Was it okay?
And then
the
Jason David Frank.
Jason David Frank. Yeah. And so, but outside of that, I was like, man.
Sorry, Power Rangers knowledge. Let's go. I go down a rabbit
hole.
That's
some pretty dark stuff with some of those.
Well, I just
dudes.
Find it weird that the black Power Ranger was black and the.
Apparently,
know,
they had
Asian
no idea.
They, was yellow.
They had no idea that they did. That
no,
they racially profiled those people
what?
On purpose.
How about that? And then the leader is this powerful white ranger?
Yeah.
How about that?
Well,
that was because they...
Yeah.
Joe, there was footage that had been created already that they were drawing off of. There was no racism
they knew.
Involved there.
They knew. There's
they
no...
Knew.
Listen. I'm all for, like, being understanding and all those things and empathetic
Come
and
on.
Forgiving.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Forgiving all those things. Yeah, right?
But sorry about that, guys.
The Asian person is the Yellow Ranger and the black guy is the black... Come on, man.
What
like,
are you doing?
Yeah, the black guy could have easily been the Blue Ranger.
I will say though, 5-year-old Joe made a sick black Power Ranger for Halloween 1 year.
Let's go.
I mean, the black one was cool, man. He could do breakdancing and stuff.
Wait, which one, Zach or Adam? Because then they ended up switching.
Definitely not Adam.
Because the no, after it was the yeah. Black Ranger was black, and the Yellow Ranger was Asian, and yeah. then the Black Ranger was Asian, yeah, and the Yellow Ranger was black. White, or it was
we
black,
fixed it.
Excuse me.
We fixed it, guys.
And then they brought in like a white South African to play, or Australian to
just
to,
like yeah, NFL ending races, and Power Rangers did it long ago.
Man, they were the era. They were in the mix, you know, well before the NFL.
Speaking of things from my youth, though, Rashad, there was something that I noticed at my parents' house the other day, and I thought of you. Because I was like, I'm going to say this to Rashad, and he's going to find it disgusting for one completely different reason. But I feel like I brought up to you how back in the day, how I used to eat broccoli as a kid. And what
Was it with mayonnaise?
Yeah.
Jesus. No. Come on, Will Levis. What are we doing?
Wait, did you dip it cold in mayo?
Oh, no. It was like steamed broccoli.
Mayo?
Yes, yes. Wow. But I go to my parents' house the other day, and my niece is there also, and she's like 13. She was mowing down on some artichoke, like with the leaves, you know?
With some mayo.
With some mayo. With mayo, how you do
yeah.
It.
That's a lot. I see a lot of people, you know, kind of do that. It's gross and disgusting to me. Obviously, like, you know, I remember being in Europe and people, and it reminds me of Pulp Fiction every time they're eating their fries with just mayonnaise. There was no ketchup and everything. It was just like globs of mayo, and I was like, gag me with a spoon, bro. This is disgusting.
So yeah, the artichoke with mayo, is that
that's a thing for people. Like I think that's a thing for most people that eat like just the artichoke like leaves or whatnot. So
it is. It's
yeah,
like,
I think
it's
I
together.
Used to do that, but I just was wondering as far as your view of artichoke consumption.
I love it.
What kind of you know on the line as far as like okay, that's not an acceptable dip.
Yeah.
For that,
it really depends. Like again, some mayo based things are okay. I don't mind them, like, you know, but sometimes, like, for instance, I like potato salad, you know, but depending on who, number one, here's a question that, and I'm gonna let you guys know, for those of you who are not melanated.
No,
there,
we do not put raisins in ours.
It's not even that, but there is a one specific question when we come to a cookout or we come somewhere, we don't care about who made the ribs. We don't care about who made the greens. One question is gonna come up. Who made the potato salad?
Oh boy.
If somebody that you know is just a fair cook, nah, I'm good. I'm not gonna mess with that, you know. But if the auntie with the maybe they might have a little bit of chicken wing on the arm. Yeah, yeah. If they have a little chicken wing on the arm, then that's gonna be fire, you know. But the key is to not have too much mayo. So if there is like a lot of mayo and stuff, I'm like, ugh, no, thank you, and everything. But like an artichoke dip, if I make it myself and don't have to use mayo, then man, absolutely. Like it's gonna be fire.
You know, so. Yeah, I also do artichoke leaves with salsa.
Oh,
I have it with some salsa or some butter.
Yeah,
some melted butter.
Anything melted butter on anything is fire.
It's like a chef's secret, right?
Seriously,
you just add butter.
Just add butter to anything. This is and any food you think of, you just add a little butter and you might have changed everything.
I think it was Paula Deen that said butter is everything.
Well, she also said the N-word, but yes.
A lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. We almost forgave Paula Deen for a minute.
Discussing the butter part of Paula Deen. Okay?
We almost forgave Paula Deen for a quick minute. It was kind of like
she's gonna have a cooking show on News Nation.
Yeah, you know, and she just kind of it went weird. Yeah. Like, she had us for a minute, but then
I separate the cook from the racist.
This mashed potato recipe is gonna make those liberals cry because of how tasty it is.
Big Mama taught her how to make all that stuff. All that stuff. And so she's giving out all them secrets. But
on the text line, 503-864-6326, you can use that to interact with us.
Please do.
Someone did. And they say, I teach in a middle school. They know Bill Nye. Well, I am glad
that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Good for
that,
you.
I don't know if you're a science teacher and you are helping that. And if so,
appreciate
God bless you for making sure Bill Nye is still culturally relevant in 2025.
Listen, nothing was better than that 30, 40 minutes you were going to get when they rolled in the TV and you were like, yes.
Just, yeah, that the intro starts.
Yes, here we go.
Bill,
turn
Bill,
those lights
Bill,
off.
Bill.
Turn those lights off for a minute. Yeah, this is going to be a good day.
They throw a Reading Rainbow on, too, every once in a while.
Man,
that was nice.
Take a look in a book. Reading Rainbow. Butterflies in the sky. I can go twice as high. That's what most of man.
Bars.
Yeah, bars, man. Great LeVar Burton.
Yeah, LeVar Burton's a stud.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get sportsy, shall we? We got a game to preview, a game 7 to preview.
Woo!
We're gonna break it down, X's O's matchup completely. What else we got? We got a matchup that we know is going to happen in the next round of the playoffs. We got a big old contract signed in the NFL. We got a, not contract signed, but a contract will be signed here in the future between this city's NBA team and a new owner in the future, or
which
owners.
Which won't be who we wanted it to be, but it's all good.
Well, no, he's, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. But first, let's talk a little Game 7. That's what's on the slate for today in the NBA. We'll get to that next here at Sports Sunday. Today, Nathan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Do you think they had that in Serbia? I don't think Jokic was watching Power Rangers.
Probably
had some Serbian version of Power Rangers.
Power Rangers was huge. Yeah, it was definitely dubbed over, you know.
It was a worldwide phenomenon, but the only place, I believe it was either Thailand or Malaysia, that it was totally banned because the word morphine sounded too close to morphine. So they literally didn't want kids going around saying,
I understand it.
It's the mighty Morphine Power Rangers. So they banned it from their damn country.
Saved a lot of lives making that choice. Good for them. Good for them, Malaysia. Yeah, the Nikola Jokic, he's going to have to find something deep down in him like he's a Power Ranger.
Deep down in his plums, man.
Yeah, they're the blues hue. The whole entire Denver Nuggets, well, possibly the Denver Nuggets, without Aaron Gordon today. Ouch. Hamstring strain. Bloody. He is...
It's going to take him weeks to heal.
Yeah, which means that he will not play today. I don't care if you read things, oh, they're trying to find a way.
It's a grade 2 strain.
He ain't going anywhere. He ain't doing nothing.
Grade 2 is worse than grade 1, right?
I have no idea. I'm not a doctor.
That's kind of what I thought. So.
I don't know. Like, it's like DEFCON 1 is the worst
going
one.
Going backwards, yeah.
Or is it the DEFCON 5 is the worst one? See, I don't know.
I have no idea.
So one is the worst.
I don't know if grade 1 hamstring strain is worse than grade 2 or grade 3, but either way, he is likely going to be out for game 7 tonight. I'm honestly surprised that we even got to this point. I thought at worst, this would be a 6-game series, and I was even going that far, I was like, I don't know. I think Thunder could wrap this up relatively quickly. Those damn Denver Nuggets, man, they just do not die.
No.
It's just, and the fact that they're playing two rookies as well, meaningful minutes in the playoffs. And now, they're going to have to play them probably even more if Aaron Gordon isn't going tonight. See what I did? I even threw out the possibility
good
of
job.
Him. If. Yeah, no, he's not. It's not going to happen.
Hey, who's Julian Strother? I remember him a little bit during the regular season.
Oh, where did he?
Gonzaga!
Gonzaga, yeah, there we go.
Go Bulldogs, pride of Spokane.
Someone just referenced that the other day I was golfing with, that he's a Zag Bulldog. But, man, I kudos to the Nuggets making it this far, pushing it to 7 games, but I'm rolling with the Thunder. I've rolled with them to win the NBA playoffs. I think they're the overwhelming favorite at this point in Vegas, that of the remaining teams. And I say that they win this game 7 tonight over the Denver Nuggets in advance to the Western Conference Finals.
I think still at plus one. It's got to be minus 100 odds.
Denver has beat them on their home floor, right? So it's not to say that it can happen. I honestly, we've seen that Shea can be stopped. That's what we're seeing in the playoffs. Shea can be slowed down a little bit. Jokic can't. There's nothing you can do about him. The way he makes baskets, it's ugly. There's nothing pretty about it. It's grimy. It's down low.
Downright disgusting.
Everything he shoots goes in. He's one of those players that you look at and how did that go in? Serious, man? Get out of here.
Yeah, he hit that three in game 5.
That turnaround, get it?
Yeah.
Turn,
to
pivot,
tie it or take the lead.
Off the right.
It never looks it's going
on.
In.
The Sombor shuffle, if you will.
It's come on. You're right, Jordan. It doesn't look like this should go in, but they always go in. And I think that's the beauty and the genius of his game. As ugly as I think it is, as far as a scoring standpoint of things, Jokic is just... It's he's playing water polo out there. His ball's up here. He's just throwing it to whoever, he wants to out there.
Isn't it wild that, here we are, game 7 between the number one team in the NBA, record-wise, for regular season, should be the overwhelming favorite to win the NBA championship. And we're talking about Jokic. His team very well could be eliminated today. It could be, a blowout. But that dude, what he is able to do and what he is able, that team just knows – if he's on the floor, we have a chance. We will always have a chance with him on the floor.
Here's a dude that has an opportunity to win his fourth MVP in 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, he's nasty.
Which is insane. There's never been a run in... Because let's be real. Jokic's run started in what? 2016, 17?
Something like 18? That, yeah.
So from 2018 till 2025, you rack up 4 MVPs, potentially a championship, in between there. How many dudes, we talk about Steph and we talk about, Bron, and obviously the championships that would separate Steph and Bron, but Jokic is on that same
platform. What there's if it's not the Timberwolves winning it, because we did the whole, who would we want to see win the championship next week, or we did that last week, talking about who we would like to see be the next champion, and the Nuggets would be right up there with the Timberwolves. There's part of me that it's this would be a crazy run after firing your head coach if they were able to win this game and then win the Western Conference Finals and beat the Timberwolves and then just finish it off. They are dead tired. But how they're able to still pull out these wins. I didn't think they were going to win game 6. And they didn't just win game 6. They were basically in control the entire time.
I think as Blazer fans, we should take a little pride because we are the reason that Jokic end up becoming the guy that he's
because we took Nurkic off their hands.
Seriously. It's not that part. And then remember, Western Conference Finals 2019.
The 4 overtime game?
Jokic just completely...
the semifinals.
He was gassed. He was gassed by time. But that's the reason that CJ was able to go off and do what he could do, because Jokic, by the time they got to the first overtime, was just... there was nothing he could do. Now it's he doesn't come out of the game. He stays in the game. His conditioning, while it might not look like it, his conditioning is awesome because he can play the entirety of the game and still be a huge factor you know, late in games. And so he's huge. And I just think really at this point, OKC is in trouble. Like, I know they're at home tonight. And so that's definitely in their favor. Aaron Gordon being out tonight, I think, is the biggest. That's the biggest
that's
piece
huge,
of this puzzle for them.
Yeah. He's like, been great these playoffs, and like to have that's such a gut punch.
He's been their second
seven.
Best player for this playoff run. He's been their second best player.
You can make that case, yeah. I mean, Jamal Murray has had up and down nights, but as far as the most consistent throughout the playoffs,
this series is probably over if Aaron Gordon doesn't make that 3-pointer to end game one. Huh? Right, the series is probably, you know, it might be at this point it's probably 3-2 something like that, looking more like OKC. And Aaron Gordon was able to save the day. Remember, first round, Aaron Gordon saves the day, you know, so they can beat the Clippers, which that series looked like it was going the Clippers' way. And he came in and stepped up. So without him tonight, who is it going to be from this Nuggets team? And I think that's the biggest question for them.
Russell.
Because I think at home, I think OKC, they've been playing pretty well at home, you know. So I think they can pull that out. But who is going to be the guy? Is Russell Westbrook going to shoot you into oblivion tonight? Like, is Michael Porter Jr. going to be able to score a little bit with that gimpy arm of his? Are we going to see more of playoff Jamal Murray?
Is he feeling better?
Yeah, is he feeling better?
Yeah, because he had like 25 points with a cold or a sick or whatever the hell he was in game 5.
Isn't it crazy? Whenever somebody's sick, they have a crazy game. That's the thing. Like, if you got a
Jamal
flu, you got
flu
some
game,
type of
yeah.
thing, like everybody, you go crazy. Dirk.
The Jamal Murray trots game. That's what we're going to see tonight.
Yeah, that's funny. One of those things. So
he had to run to the locker room.
I guess that was the Paul Pierce game, the Paul Pierce trots game.
Oh, God, yeah. We've heard about that.
That guy, man.
He had the green apple splatters, and he was splattering threes, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm rolling with the Thunder in game 7, but if I'm wrong about them winning it all because that means the Denver Nuggets beat them in a game 7, I can live with myself.
Well, we already saw one seed go down in flames, and none of us saw that coming. And so at this point, I have no expectations of anybody. I want to see a good game. I don't expect OKC to win anymore because I totally expected Cleveland to run all the way over Indiana, and that didn't happen. And nobody expected the Knicks to lose to Boston, especially the way that they lost to Boston prior to the injury to Jason Tatum. Nobody was expecting that. So
I don't know. That series started with a bang with 2-0 on the road.
That's
one.
But nobody's again, coming into that series, nobody expected that to be the case. Boston was probably the favorite in the East to go back to the finals and potentially even repeat. So for it to come down to Indiana, which I love, the Knicks, screw them, because we'll get there another time.
Well, we can do that next. I mean, that's where I wanted to go to, is we do have the other side of the bracket out as far as Eastern Conference goes. So
really quickly, just look at three-point shooting today, too, because
for sure.
OKC has not, when they lose, they haven't shot the ball as well, and it kind of allows Denver with basically half a team to step in. So without Gordon, like, they're basically going to have to give the ball to a gimpy Porter and hope that Jamal Murray hits about 5 threes. And I frankly think Jokic is going to have to shoot more threes than he usually does.
And without Aaron Gordon, it's a lot of their toughness inside, right? So a lot of those extra rebounds, those putbacks, you know, somebody that's going to be able to play some pretty good interior defense now, that part is missing for you. So I think Denver is in trouble, but as long as they got Jokic, I'm telling you, there's a chance.
All right, like I said, we got the other side of the bracket, Eastern Conference Finals, figured out. Let's preview that one as well, because coming into the bracket, I don't know if this would have been people's prediction. At least, you know, we would see one of the top teams in there, one or two seeds, but we do not. We get a Pacers-Knicks Finals. What year is it? 1999?
Love it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Knicks, Pacers. Pacers coming back to the Eastern Conference Finals for a second straight year. Good for them. And the New York Knicks, their first Eastern Conference Finals since...
2000.
Wow.
It's like Latrell Sprewell.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew it had been a while. I mean, I guess they always got to this... the furthest they went with Melo was the second round, and then... outside of the Melo years... The Knicks have not,
The Knicks are the Knicks. They've been
nicking
for years.
They've not been a top threat in the East since 2000. I mean, like, that's how it's felt like. They have always been, at best, a 4-5 seed at best.
Well, there was that one year with Melo where they were like a 2 seed. And they were pretty good.
Were they a 2? See, again,
like 2 or 3. There was one.
Maybe
one
it was
year.
Like a 1 year anomaly, I always felt like they were always around that 4-5 to 6-7-8 seed or just not. In the playoffs.
What was that stat that took them like over 40 years since 1984 for the first time since then that the Knicks and Celtics have met in a second round series? Like, it's been a while since New York has been good.
No, for sure.
But they are good now, and they are taking on the Pacers. I don't know who I like in this matchup. Like, there's part of me that wants to go with the Knicks because I feel like their starting five is just more talented overall. But the Pacers, man, they just you want to talk about a team that just wears you out. And
they're running.
And they've got some guys who I think are, you know, criminally underrated that once you see them ball out, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess he is pretty good. Oh, yeah, he's really good. Oh, yeah, he's really good, too. Like, it to me, the depth on the Pacers, I like more. I like their 1 through 9 or 10, if you will. Whereas the Knicks, I like that starting five more. But... like, that's why, like, I would like to see the Knicks win. I would like, I just think we talked about this a few weeks ago, as far as someone wanting a championship or what it would help for their resume and their legacy as far as how they are perceived. I think Karl Anthony Towns is up there as one of the top guys that it really still remaining as would need that for his validation and for his career validation and being a former number one overall pick. How much of an impact he brings to a game. But the more I just think about this series, the more I think that the Pacers are more built for this moment and have the better team overall and are going to take the opportunities that are given to them as far as Knicks making a mistake, and they make them pay for it.
And, you know, the one thing that we don't give the Pacers enough credit for is they didn't just get here, right? Like, this has been...
Now they've been good for a couple
slow
years
burn.
Now, yeah.
Like last year, if remember, the Pacers were the team that was kind of blowing everybody away by the time we got to the that corny playing or that corny not playing, but the what's
end season tournament?
Boo.
The IST. But
by the time we got there, the Pacers, remember, they played in the finals against the Lakers that year,
yeah.
And everybody expected the Pacers to be the team that won. Fast forward, you know, up into the playoffs, the Pacers made it to the conference finals last year. And if it weren't for a bunch of guys getting nicked up, you know, in games two and like four or whatever, then maybe things are different for Boston. I think Boston was just better than everybody last year, even without Porzingis. So I don't know if it really would have mattered. But so it's not a surprise to see them here right now because they play great defense. They play great team defense. They smother you. They do a good job of getting to the rack. They've got guys off the bench, like you mentioned, Joe, the guys like the TJ McConnells of the world, and Thomas Bryant came in all of a sudden, just gave you a great game. If Obi Toppin can kind of keep that energy, which he, you know, usually has, like, he's a big energy guy off your bench. Like, you've got dogs. And then you look at Tyrese Halliburton, who just keeps hearing, as good as he is, yeah, you're overrated. He's not that good. And we forget that he's like a 6'6", 6'7" point guard that can get to the rack because he's taller than whoever else is guarding him. And then is clearly not afraid to shoot that thing because he will spot up, sidestep left, sidestep right, like however you want it offensively from Tyrese Halliburton. And on top of that, I'm going to give you 8, 9, 10 assists every single time I go out there. And then you got, obviously, Pascal Siakam, who was their all-star for them this year. It wasn't Halliburton. It was Siakam. He's the all-star. He's the champion, you know, from this team. So I think that Indiana has a lot to like about their team. If you're New York, you might have the best starting five of anybody in the playoffs right now. You might. There's a good chance. You, maybe OKC, you know, I think probably have the best starting five of everybody. However, you get to that bench, it gets real, you know, real murky all of a sudden. So, and then on top of that, screw New York. Like, I mean, more than anything, like, I saw something, I posted it on my Facebook the other day, and it was a Pacers fan who was just walking somewhere, and New York fans are throwing bags of trash at them, like a mob of people, like, you know, throwing stuff at them, chasing them, pushing them. It's like, what are we doing? Like, this is why. Do you see how they celebrated making it to the conference finals? Do you know how irritating the city would be that if they actually won a championship?
Well, like, quite frankly, they might just wipe their own city off the map.
No way. You wouldn't even have to deal with New York anymore. I cannot stand New York. Like, L.A., Boston, I don't like, well, Boston, because super racist. Like, that's a reason not to really like it there. L.A., I mean, I love the city. Mind you, I love the cities, right? The actual, like, architecture, the all the stuff, man, super dope in both places. However, like, the teams, they get everything. If you're LA, you get every great free agent, you get every great superstar. Like, I hate you because we don't get that here. It's hate, whatever, call it what it is. Boston, again, kind of like LA, they sweat you because of what the history says for you, so you're always going to get a good free agent, and you're always going to be in this position to do well. I hate that about you too, you know. But New York, though, it's your fans. It's no one else. It's your fans why I hate you.
Yeah, it's they're pretty.
It's your fans.
They're pretty ridiculous.
Okay,
but hey, they're happy for their team, Rashad. Well, man, come on.
And is their team not intriguing at this point? I mean, I think I said that I think the Knicks need it the most for their franchise just because of, like, this was the Eastern Conference semifinals matchup last year, the Pacers and Knicks, that went seven games. The Pacers outshot them just like they have everybody in the playoffs this year. They're shooting at like a 41% clip for
the
playoffs.
I love them.
Yeah, no, I mean, Joe's right. They just run the hell out of you, and they're so deep, man. It's like all of a sudden you don't think they have any more horses.
And who's their coach?
And then Nebhard comes. Rick Carlisle.
No, I'm sorry. For the Knicks.
Oh, Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, Thibodeau.
He's going to run the hell out of you and run you into the ground as well. Like, that's kind of what Tibbs does. So I think that you're right. New York has to win immediately, because they're not going to have much time under Tom Thibodeau, because he's known, notoriously known throughout the NBA as being a hard-ass, a red-ass coach who's going to run his players into the ground.
No, but they have the rebounding advantage this series, and, I mean, frankly, if they can play a slower pace, I see it. I think it's like minus 150. The Knicks are favored at this point, so it's a close one, but I think it leans the Knicks' way. They've got a more intriguing starting lineup, and everybody on their team, I feel like, is still just a more talented group overall when you add OG Anunoby and you add Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, they didn't get as far as they have without Karl-Anthony Towns before.
For sure.
This the key for Jalen Brunson now to be a Jason Tatum-level superstar in the NBA with this win, or with an NBA Finals win, he will be.
And I think my thing is, the reason I'm going to go with the, not just because the I hate the Knicks fans, but I honestly, I like this Indiana team more than I like the Knicks squad overall. I think the Knicks have an amazing group of starters, but when it comes down to it, I think it's going to come down to their superstars for both teams. And at the end of the day, Tyrese Halliburton can guard Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson can guard Tyrese Halliburton. There's nothing he can do about him, right? He's going to get to the rack as much as he wants to, and he's going to be able to shoot over him because he's bigger.
That will be a fun matchup to watch, and I don't know if they, you know, put someone else on Tyrese and have someone else guard him, like putting OG or even like Mikal Bridges.
For sure.
They have,
I think it's
going
to be Mikal Bridges. It has to be.
But want to talk, like, just those two, that's a crafty point guard series right there.
100%.
Those two, like, they are very unassuming, but then they can just go off.
Probably my two favorite guards in the league right now. Favorite point guards.
It's one of those, like, again, even when I watch him and I've seen everything that they both can do, there's still this part of me when I watch him where I'm like, he's not going to take. Oh, there he goes for 14 straight. Tyrese Hoppin. He's not. Yeah, he's good, but oh, there's a game winner. Oh, there's a nasty assist. Like, those two players in itself are very crafty, and I think this is a great matchup. It's unfortunate that, you know, but it happens with all playoffs that they're here in part because of some injury, you know. But again, that's the playoffs, man. It seems like it happens every year where there is a team that falls short because they have a key player go down. But this is the series we get, and I like seeing the new blood as well. Like the fact that either the Knicks or Pacers are going to be in the finals to me, like
that's
awesome. That's pretty awesome. Cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's love throwback.
I love the idea that we're going to have a new champion. Well, if for whatever reason Denver doesn't win and they don't make it, there's going to be a new champion.
Yes.
And we're going to have to, where somebody, there's going to be a new superstar that we're going to put into that light as far as being the guy or being the next guy. And or is he the best player in the league? Like, we're going to have that conversation here within a few weeks. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the series. Like I said, love the Knicks, hate their fans.
Well, we're going to have a new champion possibly, and this city's going to have a new owner. Get to that next here, Sports Sunday, Tanny the Fan.
I think they had like a, not large, but I would say significant, more significant than people thought, of a chance to drop below the top 10. So,
but
it's,
I think,
making it better, Jordan.
I think that I think ownership was basically like, okay, we're not getting the number one overall pick. All right, let's sell this bitch. We're done here. The Blazers announced that they will be looking for new ownership and will be selling the team, and that the process will bleed into the 2025-2026 season, probably take the majority of the season. They say that, you know, sales like this from an estate can take, you know, somewhere between 9 to 12 months. So we could be here in a year announcing the new owner of the Portland Trail Blazers. But I think that you are crazy if you did not rejoice when you heard this news. What this city has wanted was just a ownership group that seemed to care a little bit more about winning than profits, more than what's a way to make more money and sell hope for this franchise. And that's what they've been doing for the last 20 to 30 years, is selling hope. Well, we want to be sold wins at this point. We want to be sold a culture that is telling us that you are trying to go after a championship, and that is the ultimate goal as a sports franchise, is to win championships.
Right.
Now, we know that, obviously, as any business goes, the goal is to make money and to be a profitable business, which I understand. But with that comes the other. Like, with winning and becoming a championship-contending team comes more money, comes consistency of that money. And I think everybody is stoked to know that we're hopefully, and I don't see why we wouldn't, get an owner that is buying this team to win it a championship, to go after a championship, and not just to line their pockets with money that they already have plenty of. So, thank God. I mean, this is the first step. I didn't think it was going to happen anytime soon, maybe another couple years until we got this announcement, but we finally got it. It was music to our ears.
Number one, we should have TP'd Jody's house a long time ago. A long time ago. Don't want anything bad to happen, but just make it really inconvenient for her to, like, clean all that crap up and everything. We could have had a great owner just a few years ago who probably would have put us in a great position as Blazer fans to find or to have new ownership after they've kind of decided to transition out or pass away or whatever. Phil Knight wanted to buy his home team. The creator of Nike wanted to buy the thing that probably they grew up loving here in the Northwest, which is the Portland Trail Blazers. And for whatever reason, they said no. No, we're good. Don't want that. Don't need Phil Knight, you know, to be a part of this for whatever reason. Now Phil Knight's 87 and he's like, yeah, I'm good. I mean, when I was 82, I had my whole life ahead of me. ahead of me when I was 82. Now,
it is weird.
I'm like, don't really want to do that. Well, right? And so
he kind of lowballed them a little bit, because now they're looking at probably a $4 billion sale, and his offer was reportedly, and this was, I think, somebody with like the L.A. Dodgers ownership already. So they had gotten a bunch of money, but Joe's right, it was a $2 billion offer.
Yeah, but I mean,
that was years ago. The Celtics just sold for six.
Yeah, but they're the Celtics. You know what I mean? I get it. Like, they're the Celtics. They're the Clippers. We're the Blazers.
Forbes just valued the Blazers at $3.86 billion.
And that's now, but 5 years ago, what was it?
I mean, the Suns sold at $4 billion. The Clippers sold at $2 billion, but that was, about, And let's be real. I mean, the Clippers brand and that team, like,
the fact that they got two.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of fitting for that.
Yeah.
You know,
no, for sure. For sure. But the Blazers, even you're talking 5 years ago, so we're talking 2020. What were the Blazers valued at?
Probably $3 billion instead of $4 billion.
So he offered $2 billion to something like that?
Well,
like,
I mean,
it's a low ball, but it's not a crazy low ball.
Like, some of the most recent purchases, just to give you guys context, though, I mean, the Utah Jazz sold for $1.6
billion
in 2020. The Minnesota Timberwolves sold for $1.5 billion.
And the Blazers are on par with both of those teams.
Yeah. I mean, that's
a good point, Rashawn.
If they sold for $4 billion when, I mean, the Nets sold for $3.3 billion, and granted, that was in 2010. The Suns are one of the most recent purchases, though, at $4 billion in 2022.
But also, those teams all were bought with the knowledge, or sold with the knowledge, that the media deal wasn't coming up for renewal until 2023, 2024. There was a very specific mandate that we heard was most likely going to happen once Jody took over the estate, and that was repeatedly, they are going to wait until this media deal is finalized. Oh, look, $77 billion. Now, all of a sudden, this and expansion, which you guys, I think, if everybody's heard at this point, a $5 to $6 billion times two expansion, essentially fee gets split amongst the 30 teams. So the Blazers now, as they're being sold, whoever comes in, oh, look, they just got an influx of cash. Oh, maybe I'll build an arena. It's just a much better time for Jody to sell now, obviously, than it was 5 years ago.
Well, again, thank God it's happening. That's all I can say. The thing that whenever there's a new owner, they want to make an impact right away. It's very rare where you see a new owner in the NBA buy a team and just like, you know what, we're good. We're just fine. I'm just going to stand pat with what we've been doing. And, we don't need to do anything else. Make additions, make this team better. They are usually want to come in guns a-blazing right away and try to build a winner and try and build a new culture. And, whoever that billionaire owner group is, just pray that they care about this team and this franchise and this city the way that we do, because and I've said this too, like, as a personal sports fan, all I want out of my teams now is the commitment to being the absolute best on the field,
just
on the
court. Try.
Like, I feel like I brought this up a few weeks back, is like, when's the last time the Blazers were a 3 seed or better? And the only time was when they got swept by the Pelicans. Like, it's been that, outside of that season.
What a great day that was. I have a picture of going to that game. Ugh, it felt good.
Of them getting swept by the Pelicans?
No, the feeling of being a 3 seed, knowing that we were favored to win this thing.
I was like,
what
the hell's the matter with you?
Yeah, going to that game, the energy that we felt that day. I remember that. I would love that. And I know you kind of, I was always saying, and I kind of on the same level as you, Joe, I was always saying, man, I want them to be competitive. And when I say competitive, I want to have the belief that, man, we can do something. We can make a run. We can make a deep run. There's going to be one team to win a championship. So if you don't win, like, that's not a complete failure.
I'd love to be a top 5 or top 6 team.
That's all I want.
Talks of, like, being a one of the teams that has a chance.
Yeah, and so I think when you
don't let your superstar get double teamed.
So when I think when you see that 11-game win streak or that 11-game stretch and everything, and you see them doing well, there's a part of the thought process is like, okay, here's the upswing. Here we go. And that's why I was kind of excited, because we see what this team potentially could be as we look at Houston and we look at OKC and we look at these teams that had the slow burn to finally get to where they were. And I think that's why we were excited about it. But yes, I want a team that I think or I know could be in the conference finals this year, could be contending for the top spot in the league, would have a guy that's going to be competing for an MVP or at least the defensive player of the year. Like, I want stuff like that on this team. And hopefully, I mean, I wish Steve Ballmer could buy us.
Actually,
can he buy us too?
It's on two teams? I think there might be conflict of interest there.
It's a really funny point that you bring that up, Rashad, because you just talked about the purchase of the Clippers for $2 billion, and that was one Steve Ballmer from Microsoft. Well, here seems to be a mirror image of what the best-case scenario is for the Portland Trail Blazers, what happened with the Clippers, for sale, of course, but Steve Ballmer buying it back in, what, 2016 or whatever. You got a guy out of state, out of the area, but he is fired up about the NBA. He wants to get into the league. He wants to own a basketball team, and he wants to freaking win. And I think that that connection to basketball Blazers fans is all we need in a new owner. We don't need the local area. We just need somebody. I don't care if he's from Florida. I don't care if he's from New York. If he wants to get into the NBA and he wants to win or she wants to win, that's all we need.
I love tech guys. Tech guys, why? Because they're forward-thinking, right? They like to think outside the box of everything. Like, they're innovative. They're super creative about how they do stuff. And then there's this overwhelming feeling of excitement for them about what could be. So when Mark Cuban buys the Mavericks, they go from just, oh, this Dallas Mavericks team that had Jason Kidd and had all these guys that weren't doing anything to, holy hell, like, the Mavericks are making moves. Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, Michael Finley, doing all these things. And like, okay, great. But you have a forward-thinking owner that's like, man, let's try this. You know, and then you look over at Steve Ballmer and everything he's done with the Clippers, just getting them their own arena,
that
giving
new
them their
arena
giving them their own
gorgeous
identity away from the Lakers and everything was huge for them. You know, getting the whole screen and everything, so making them feel good, making the Clippers, who have been the trash ass Clippers for years, feel like, man, we've got something here. We got Kawhi, we got James Harden, we're trying to do something to make things better. Until we get somebody that's willing to innovate and willing to be creative and willing to kind of put it on the all
take
the line
risks,
then I think we're going to be stuck in the mud forever. So whomever the new owner is, I plead with you, just please be open to doing things differently.
Well, and I again, that's usually what they want to do. They want to leave their mark right away, make their stamp on things. And it's very rare to get a new owner in any sport and they just walk in like, all right, now that I have the job, I don't really want to do anything.
Sit
I don't
want
to make the team better.
First thing we're doing, you know, we're changing these colors, right?
Fire Joe Cronin. Yeah.
No longer red, black, and white. Colors are green.
So
purple.
When that new ownership will take over in due time, but first step, man. First step has been made in that the team is announcing that they will be selling.
Heck
hell yeah,
yes.
We'll take it.
We'll take it.
All right, we're going to take a break. Get to hour number two. Speaking of a lot of money getting thrown around in the NBA, let's get some money thrown around in the NFL. Huge new contract for a quarterback in the NFL. We do that next here. Hour number two coming up, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that's That is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.